the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. And in the studio today, we have Dr. Angus Catchott and Dr. Jeff Gore, and they're going to answer all your questions about snails and slugs or slugs and snails. Been a lot of pictures out there, seen a lot of social media pointing them out on small cotton seedlings. So it's made these two guys' phone get hot and heavy for the last several days. So first off, Angus, glad to have you back in the Delta.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Jeff, I see your shining face every day, or forehead, one of the two. Yeah, I don't have any room to
You don't
to
have
talk,
to acknowledge
though.
Me.
Well, you'll just sit over there and be quiet until I do acknowledge you like you did the other day. I think it was about 4 minutes before you chimed in. But Angus, how many phone calls a day are you getting about snails?
Well, I'm not going to say it's out of hand, but at this point where we're at right now with all the wet weather, the main calls that I'm getting are on slugs and snails, what little bit of crop we seem to have up, cotton and beans coming up in this wet, cool conditions we've had, and you know that exasperates it.
So before we get into slugs and snails, let me sidestep back and say, normally this time of year, I hear y'all guys talk a lot about thrips. So what's this weather doing to the thrips on a small cotton?
Well, the biggest thing that the weather's doing is it's knocking the thrips back. We haven't heard about a lot of thrips. Of course, there's not a lot of cotton that's really at the thrip stage yet. But as long as we keep getting these rains, it's going to keep those thrips knocked back. Now, one thing that I have noticed on some of our earliest cotton that we've gotten up is we hadn't had a lot of thrips on that cotton, but we're seeing some thrips injury where the cotton's just growing so slow that it doesn't take a lot of thrips to cause some damage in those situations. And that's all untreated cotton with those low numbers like that.
Yeah.
You know, the seed treatment should be fine still.
You look at all the crops out there, it doesn't matter if it's cotton, corn, whatever, it's just not growing off like it should because we don't have the heat units.
Right.
And everything's got wet feet sitting underwater. So maybe that is the issue we're having with slugs and snails this year, is because everything is so wet, they're trying to get their head above water, Angus?
Well, yeah, we need to back up a little bit, though. I mean, this is something we see every few years. We see it every year to some degree. But it's almost exclusively a no-till or a residue problem. And it's always worse in years like this where it's wet, obviously, right? So we've had a few big years where they've been a problem. 2004 was one of the most memorable, and five to a large degree. And that's when Jeff and I did a tremendous amount of work on that, on this problem. But one of the things, and look, this is an argument, actually, that I've had with consultants, farmers, retail people, or whatever over the years, you know, time and time again, snails are not an issue. And there's so many people that do not believe that. Slugs are the problem.
Okay, so you heard it here first. Snails is not an issue.
I wouldn't say first. Because
yeah.
First for 2019, okay?
Yeah.
Recorded live on the radio, you heard it first from Angus that snails are not the problem.
Snails are not the problem.
The thing about snails is they climb up the plant, so they're very visual, just right there where you can see them.
So snails, keep in mind, if it has a shell.
All right, time out. Go in what you were about to say, and I think that's where we were going, is tell me how I can tell the difference between a snail and a slug. It's just the shell?
The shell. Snails have shells, slugs don't. Snails will be visible in the daytime. They're going to be off the ground. They're going to be on your plants if you have a field of residue that has high snail population. But they're going to be on everything. They're going to be on light poles. I had pictures last year 9 foot high on a light pole covered with snails. They're getting off the ground.
Okay, so you said that this was in a residue area or no-till. A lot of these clean fields we have in the Delta that sit underwater, there is a residue line from the water pushing it up. Can we see them get in that area, you know, where a lot of soybean stubble may be piled up on the edge of a field? Or
I don't know so much about that. It's something that started, you know, in the previous years with residue, particularly grass crop residue.
Okay.
Like corn and grain sorghum. Not to mention that you would not get it behind cotton or beans, but typically really a lot worse behind grain crops from the year before.
So in those fields that we've rotated cotton, with grain sorghum or corn, that's where we're going to look first.
And it's usually stuff that hasn't been tilled to any degree for a long time.
Right, right.
It takes...
Define long time.
Well, 2 to 3 years. It takes them 2 to 3 years to really build up populations.
Okay, so
high enough to where you'd notice them.
This problem with the amount of tillage we do in the Delta is not that severe, because we do a lot of tillage in the Delta, and we did a lot of spring tillage this year.
Yeah, and that generally reduces the problem significantly.
Okay. Yeah, it definitely reduces the problem. That's, okay, in fact, one of our recommendations to deal with the problem.
One of your recommendations to deal with it is break the ground.
Break the ground. But, you know, if you're in a long-time no-till environment, you don't want to do that. So you're going to have to think of something else. You're going to have to deal with it another way, which is not easy. Okay. And then look, now, so let me back up 1 second, because, again, we've said it and I repeated it 3 times. The problem is not snails. Now, I have seen so many snails on a small cotton plant that they will bend it over with the weight. Yeah, that's probably not good for it, but that's not most fields. The problems, if you see something eating your soybeans or your cotton and they're hard to find and you see snails, I can almost guarantee you, because they're always together, generally they coexist, there will be slugs, but they're going to be under the residue in the daylight, and you can dig the residue back and you will see the slugs under the residue during the daylight.
So
it's them causing the problem, not the snails.
They're under the residue because they don't want to get a sunburn. They don't have a shell.
Maybe so.
They're
going to come out at dark. They're going to come out at dark. That's right.
Yeah, no, they're not protected by a shell, so they're subject to drying out.
Sunburned, baby. See, I know things.
Yeah,
I know
that's
things.
Right.
That's because I'm lily white.
So. Yeah. So dealing with them, I mean, that's the issue. So what do you do? I mean, if you have a bad slug problem and they're bad enough that they eat the growing point out, plant's dead, right? It ain't coming back. And there's fields that have to be replanted. If you plant right back into that slug problem, we still got the conditions we have now, they're going to eat it again. I mean, we've seen this in 2004. We had some of the same fields replanted 3 times for the same problem.
Okay, so if you have to take care of it, now I'm kind of beginning to understand why you said it's difficult to control. If those little boogers hide under the stubble in the middle of the day, that's generally when we do most of our spraying. So how are you going to get contact with them?
Well, that's the key, is there's nothing that we can spray on slugs and snails that'll kill them.
Ah,
The first question that we always get, and, you know, this mentality goes back a long way, long time, is will a pyrethroid kill them? And a pyrethroid would never kill a slug or a snail.
Well, you know, back in grade school, you'd pour the salt on them and they'd melt.
That'll kill them.
Could you do like a high-loaded potassium fertilizer or something?
Well, that's funny you bring that up. So we'll talk about the one product that works in a minute.
Okay.
Then we're going to come back to the insecticides that Jeff mentioned as well. But in 2004...
But they're not an insect, right? So an insecticide shouldn't kill them?
Well, that's true. They're definitely not an insect, but there's more to the story of why it won't kill them. But I want to answer your salt out question.
Okay.
Because everybody's poured slug on, you know, salt on a slug. So we had some problems where we had some multiple repeats into the same cotton fields in 2004. I did a tremendous number of bioassays that year where I would collect slugs from the residue, and I tested every insecticide in every class that you can imagine, where I literally sprayed the slug himself or herself or whatever they are.
I sprayed them directly.
Hitting the target was not a question.
I think they're asexual, aren't they?
I think they're probably asexual. Yeah.
So there is no gender to a slug.
Look, I'm not a...
That's a subject for another day.
I'm not a slug expert, but what I can tell you, from organophosphates to pyrethroids to carbamates to everything you can think of, and even multiple products within those lists, I sprayed the slugs directly. We killed zero. So I said, well, maybe I need to do something different. I took those same products, and these were slugs I was collecting out of people's fields. Then I sprayed beans, soybeans with them, and then I made them eat these residues, and they ate it, and they ate all of it, and they never died. With every class of chemistry you can think of, everything you can think of, you can find in that control guide, we did not kill them. So we knew then, and we already kind of had an idea, the reason you don't kill them with the foliar is they got that slime. and they slough it off. And I explained this to a grower one day. I grabbed one, I threw it in the dirt. And, of course, you can imagine what a slug looks like in the dirt. In about 5 seconds, he sloughed it off and was clean again. I said, there's your insecticide, and that's where it goes. And then it was clear as, you know, clear as a bell after that.
Or the mud coming off the back of the slug.
Exactly. They just slough it off. So, yeah, so back to your salt question. I took some, at the time, it was ammonium nitrate. And I put a few granulars, you know, in some Petri dishes. Of course, I salted them out and killed them. So knowing that we didn't have any options, we had a guy. He had not put his first shot of nitrogen out on about some four-leaf cotton. We waited till nighttime when the slugs were out, and he applied it with a granular with a buggy. And he told me that it definitely, it did, it had a big impact on him. Now, is this something you would do again? Probably not, but when your back was against the wall, you're on your third replant, hadn't had any nitrogen out, he tried it, seemed to give him some relief. He found tons of dead slugs that were salted out. It's just not real practical.
Well, it is practical if you hadn't put out your fertilizer.
Well,
yet.
But you keep in mind what I said earlier, though, it's wet at the time, but slugs are a problem, so the fields are wet, and you had to put it out with a ground rig, 3-point, you know, spreader at night, so an airplane's out of the question. It didn't really, you don't really fit well, so that was the other thing.
Gotcha. So there's really no way to deal with them other than cultural management, basically. And when you, because you say spraying at night, now with RTK, we can spray at night, but...
Well, I didn't mean not spray, spreading. But that's still not a recommendation. I'm just telling you something crazy out of the box we tried that seemed to work. Here's what we're talking about that'll work. And, Jeff, you can go into this. Jeff and I did a tremendous amount of work on this product in 2004 and 5, and I'll let him talk about some of these results.
Yeah, I don't remember the results exactly, but the –
It's only been 15 years, man. Come on, what's wrong?
Well, look, I remember them like it was yesterday, so I'll feel that part in.
The product is Deadline MP, the active ingredient's metaldehyde, which is actually it's a bait, is what it is, and so it's these granules. They're a little bit bigger than regular insecticide granules that we think about. You basically spread them across the field, and the slugs will actually come to it. I think they're made out of banana peels or something like that.
So they said that was proprietary. They wouldn't tell us. They're actually attracted to the pellets from a decent distance away, believe it or not.
Yeah. So they're about the size of a fertilizer granule if they're bigger than like an insecticide
granule. Like urea.
Granule.
More like, I would say more like urea. They look like a rabbit pellet.
Yeah, your
me.
Standard number 8 size sieve. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but we put several tests out in what year did you say it was, 2004?
It was 2004 or 5 where we did replicated big stuff in grower fields here in the Delta.
Yeah, and we spent a lot of time crawling around on our hands and knees, counting these things, digging them out of cracks in the soil and under residue and everywhere else. And basically what we showed is it worked. It did a pretty good job of reducing the populations, at least to the point or the cotton or the beans or whatever it was we were testing them on could get back to growing the way it should be growing.
So I remember the results, and I may get the numbers wrong.
Then you don't remember
no,
the results.
I remember
if you're
this.
Get the numbers
I remember
wrong.
This. There was a 98% reduction in slugs between treated and untreated over replicated sites. There was a 98% reduction, and I think we knocked them down somewhere from 12 to square foot. Per square foot to less than one.
I think we were broadcasting that at 10 pounds to the acre.
10 pounds to the acre.
Yeah.
So now here's the next problem you run into. So you call Jeff or Don or myself and you say, hey, I got this slug problem and you want to know what to do, and we tell you some of the things that we've talked about now. And then we say our next thing we'll tell you is short of tillage, which you know nobody really wants to do that, your option. And I didn't say option with an S, option is Deadline MP, a metaldehyde containing product. So we tell you what the product is, then you say, okay, how much does it cost? It's going to be somewhere $18 to $20 an acre for that 10-pound rate, and then a lot of times they'll just go on and won't try it at all.
But how can you add that to your production budget in an already tight year?
Well, I completely understand that, but when you say how can I control slugs, you got two options, you till it or you put Deadline MPs out. or you hope it gets hot and dry and the cotton outgrows it or the soybeans outgrow it. We got a guy that puts it out here in the Delta every year on some acres of beans. You know, he's no-till and he likes his no-till, and he likes it. He's very, very, very pleased with it.
So
that's
what,
it. That's your options.
One option outside of cold steel.
Yeah, that we found.
And you know, Angus made a point, is when it gets hot and dry, they tend to go away. Or I shouldn't say go away, but they're not as aggressive as when it's cool and wet.
They're not as aggressive.
They may move down in the soil profile or something, seeking moisture. I'm not sure, but or maybe the plants.
Or they're seeking dryness right now, right?
Yeah, maybe the plants are just outgrowing more than they can eat. I'm not sure. But
it all revolves around right now. We've got a lack of heat units on everything growing in the state of Mississippi, and nobody's happy right now. And speaking of nobody happy, Don Cook just entered the room. Don, what's your take on slugs?
I didn't know if he was mic'd up or not over there. I was going to throw it to him.
I'm happy. Y'all may have covered this, but something I've seen here lately is in some small corn. Usually we don't worry about slugs in corn, but where that seed fur didn't close, they'll get underground and you'll see symptoms look like wireworm or rootworm. I mean, you'll have the world dying.
So some of the worst problems in beans I've ever seen was when the furrow didn't close and they get in that furrow and they run that furrow trench and they hit it right there before the – you know, and they're actually cutting it off like a cutworm at that point. Then it's a bad deal. Yeah, you're right.
But usually, you know, corn, small corn, if they're feeding above the soil line, it's not that big a deal. But the ones I saw were underground at that growing point, and they were killing plants.
So who knew?
If the seed fur is not closed right now, it's full of water.
Who knew that a slug could get in there and root around like a hog?
Well, yeah. That's where they prefer to feed, really and truly.
Well, you think about it. We said they don't come out in the daytime. If that fur is open a little bit and shaded, they could feed all day in there and really be a problem.
Ouch.
You know, I've always said, you think about this problem every two or three years when it's a bad problem. But we remember when we did this work, we were telling, you know, these growers, they come up with some good stuff. This stuff's expensive, $10 an acre broadcast. I guarantee you could dribble it.
You just cut it in half a while ago. It was $18.
No, I meant 10 pounds per acre. I'm sorry. Okay. $18 or so for 10 pounds. But what I'm saying is you could dribble this probably on a small band out of a Gandy box. Or you could figure out a way to get the price, I'm convinced, down to almost nothing.
Could you?
And still work.
If you have the equipment.
It's too big to run through a Timic box, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
But there's some, I mean, these guys are geniuses. Some of the things I've seen them retrofit and build for their planters.
One recommendation that always was, if you even suspected you're going to have a slug issue before you planted, was run the row cleaners, move that residue off top of that row.
All right, so saying that, Don, me being the agronomist in the room, and Don's part agronomist with me, what about a strip-till rig?
That would work. I mean, just something to move that residue away from there. It moves the eggs. It moves their, you know, habitat.
It's been reported just a 6 to 10 inch clean spot makes can make all the difference in the world.
So now I'm not going there. I don't want people to start something crazy. So I was just thinking out loud, and I don't need to while we're recording. So y'all carry on.
Well, I mean, I think we've covered a lot, probably a lot more detail than anybody ever wanted to talk about on slugs and snails. But when you got this problem, it is a problem. And a lot of people are experiencing that right now, and a lot more are going to, because we just don't have a lot of stuff. I mean, it's just now a lot of things are getting to the stage that it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, we thought we were going to talk like 5 or 6 minutes, and how long have we been on now?
Well, I tend to make y'all go on a little bit.
The best thing that can happen is us get some dry weather and things dry up.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
All right, guys, so you heard it from the three entomologists first. Dry up, spray. What'd you call that, Angus?
Spread. Deadline MP. Call your local AMBAC rep. If you have questions about this, they generally keep some in Casio's, a few pallets if you need it. So call Skip Wilson. Call Skip.
And, you know, the other deal is this doesn't really apply to the field, but if your wife's got flowers getting eat up or your garden's getting eat up, you can get it in small quantities at the garden, you know, the hardware store for that as well. Mm-hmm. It's the same active.
All right. So one active ingredient out there on the market, Deadline. Get with Skip to get it. Cold Steel, yeah, if you're into tilling, or Pray for Sunshine.
Pray for Sunshine. All do right. that anyway.
Well, yeah. And especially those guys in the South Delta. They need absolutely. All the sunshine they
absolutely.
Can get.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, I think we've hem-hawed around long enough. If we haven't answered your snail and slug questions by now, please call Angus Catchott.
If nobody gets yeah. anything else out of this other than snails are not a problem, then we've done a good job.
And insecticides don't work. That's the two biggest points right there. Snails yep. are not a problem, and insecticides don't kill either.
Again, I'm just a lowly agronomist, but why would you spray an insecticide on a non-insect?
Well,
shouldn't I kill
mean,
it, right?
You're not an insect, but if I sprayed it on you, I could probably kill you.
Yeah, we could come up with something.
You know what I mean? So that's the thought process.
Well, you apparently haven't if you've only got one product. All right, guys, y'all have fun out there. Be safe, and we hope it dries up.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.